You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Repeat After Me. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you are here. We're in a series called Repeat After Me, How to Pray Like Jesus. And I want to welcome each and every one of you and our five campuses, Coshocton, Worcester, Millersburg, Dover, and Canton. We're glad that you are joining us. Of all the things that the disciples could ask Jesus to teach them, Scripture records that they said, "Teach us how to pray." And I believe that they observed his life and they saw something distinctive about the way in which he did life. And they came to the conclusion that the secret was that he was in constant communication with his heavenly Father, and that it separated him from everyone else that they knew. And so they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so that's what we've been looking at for the last several weeks, and I want to remind us of this, though all of us probably in one way or another could recite at least most of it. And so let's look at it here today. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And what we've learned is this, is that God wants you and I to understand that he wants to be our Father. Maybe the Father that you've never had, the one that's consistent, the one that is competent, the one that is close. And we experience that through the person of Jesus Christ. And that we can hallow his name, meaning his greatness, his goodness, his generosity. And so we learn that he wants to have a relationship with us, and that it's been made available through the person of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And we learn that the kingdom of God is righteousness. That means that we're in right relationships with God and with one another, and that we experience peace, that he gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we can experience joy that gives us energy and power in our life. And the key to experiencing his kingdom is surrender, is when you and I surrender to him. And then we looked at this last phrase here, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. That God wants you and I to ask him for things. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. And he wants you and I to be able to communicate with him on a regular basis. That's why he does not give us bread for a year or for a quarter or for a month or for a week. He wants to give it to you and I every single day. And now we come to this part. And here's what Jesus says. "Forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Wow. That's loaded. Forgive us our sins. This assumes that I need to be forgiven. And it assumes that God is willing to give it to me. And you see, that's the core of our faith. That's the core of the Christian life. That we're in need of forgiveness, and our Heavenly Father is willing to give it to you and me. That we need forgiveness, and God provides it. And only God can do this. He's the only one who can forgive you or me or any of us of our sins. And he chooses to do this. He doesn't have to. It's in God's nature to forgive you and me. And he's a great God. He's a great, great Father. Now, we need to understand something about forgiveness. And I want to give you two thoughts today about it. The first one is judicial forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness. And this is where God declares you and I as being not guilty. That everything that you've ever done in your life, everything that I've ever done in my life, that God declares you and I not guilty. That means that we have a right standing with God, that we are now in relationship with Him. And this is what we need more than anything. You see, I don't know if you've come to this conclusion, but I want to give you something to think about. Forgiveness is your greatest need. Forgiveness is my greatest need, because unforgiveness exposes us to God's judgment and guarantees that we will live forever and ever separated from Him. And so if you've never experienced God's forgiveness, of where you're able to come into a personal relationship with Him, and that He becomes the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life because He's the only one who can forgive your sins, I want to encourage you today to do that. It's the greatest decision that a man or a woman can ever make. And it's your greatest need to be able to experience the forgiveness of God. And so I need forgiveness. The good news is God wants to give me His forgiveness because of Jesus Christ. And so it's the judicial forgiveness, okay? That's forgive us. But there's another aspect to forgiveness, and I want to refer to it as relational forgiveness. Relational forgiveness. And I think we would all agree, okay? Those of us who have experienced this judicial forgiveness, that we're in relationship with God and our sin has been forgiven, and we've come to know God as our Heavenly Father, and we've been declared righteous, we still get things wrong, don't we? We still mess up. We still sin. And sin disrupts every relationship in the human realm. And so every human problem that exists with people, every single human problem, no matter what, that relationship, okay, and its problem has come in the form of sin. You see, that's our problem in our world today, right? Nobody's willing to acknowledge that. And yet your problem and my problem comes back to sin. And so there's the relational forgiveness. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this scripture. And so what He is saying is, on a daily basis, you and I need to come to God, not so much for judicial forgiveness, but for relational forgiveness, so that we can enjoy our relationship with Him, we can be blessed by it, we can be filled with joy and gladness, we can be useful, and we can be able to show others the truth. Because what happens is, if we don't come to God every day for forgiveness, then what happens is we feel guilty. We have a sense of shame about us. We lose our joy. We lose our usefulness. And we live and we forfeit the best part of what God has for us. You see, what we need to understand is this. Sin stirs up chaos in our relationships with one another. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you have kids, or whether at work, or whether in the relationships of your friends, or even nations. And no one escapes this problem. We all have a problem with sin. And the good news is, we all have an opportunity to experience forgiveness. You see, God did not create you and me to carry guilt. Do you know that? Now, God uses guilt to get our attention. But I believe it's one of the most unhealthiest emotions that a person can experience, because David talks about that his bones were wasting away until he dealt with his guilt. And so what happens is, when Jesus says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, He's talking about judicial forgiveness, we're in right relationship with God, and relational forgiveness. Now, He goes on to end, okay, after He finishes what you and I know is the Lord's Prayer, with this. Here's what He says. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Catch this, relational forgiveness. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Wow. That's pretty heavy. And what he's talking about is this relational forgiveness. That I can't be right with God unless I'm right with people. And he says that we're called to confess. Why? Because he's willing to forgive. And so what we're called to do is to do two things. The first thing is to confess debt. That we're all indebted to God. Why? Because he is a perfect God. And what you and I do is we offer him imperfect gifts. And so every time you offer him an imperfect gift, every time I offer him an imperfect gift, it falls short. And so I owe God. And I owe God a debt I cannot pay back. It's too enormous. It's too great. I can never be able to repay him back. And so I have to confess that. God, I confess that I have a debt with you that I could never, ever repay. That's why 1 John says this. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So when Jesus said, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, he says the first thing that you need to do, Dwight, every day is you need to confess your debt to God so that he can forgive you. Because he wants to forgive you, and it's the greatest thing that you need in your life. Now, how do you and I go about confessing our debt? I want to give you some things to think about. Here's the first thing. We need to examine our life. You need to examine your life. Because confession means to agree with what God says. So if confession means that I agree with what God says, I have to ask him about my life. And so the psalmist writes this. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Check this out. Point out anything in me that offends you. Wow. Point out anything in me that offends you. And so the first thing that we need to do if we're going to confess our debt is we need to take time and sit down before God and say, okay, God, search me, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you, and I'll confess it to you. So you know what that literally means? You make a sin list. Y'all right with that one? You make a sin list. And you're asking God to reveal to you your heart because you don't know it. And so maybe he will say, you know what? You're jealous. You know what? You're envious. You know what? You're rebellious. You don't yield to authority. You know what else? You lie. You gossip. You're a lustful person. You're unkind. You're lazy. You're prideful. Y'all okay? That's what it means. It means that what happens is you come before this God who loves you and I, and you get real. Because if you want a real God, you got to get real with him. Some of us here today, we don't think God's very real, and the reason why is because you've never gotten real with him. And so you come before him, and you say, God, search my heart, examine me, show me where I have missed the mark. Point out in me anything that offends you. And we can do this because we know that God loves us unconditionally. I do this because I miss the mark. And I don't want a life full of guilt and shame. I don't want to be emotionally a wreck. And so this is the first step. Here's the second step. And that is this. Repent of your sins. I need to repent of my sins. That means that I need to take responsibility for what I've done. That means that I can't blame anybody. I can't point the finger at anybody. Well, they did this, or they did that. I need to take responsibility for myself, and then I need to turn away from the sin that God has revealed to me that I have done. And then I need to be able to turn to God. That's what repentance is. You see, what happens is I have to accept my responsibility for it. I can't rationalize it. I can't minimize it. I can't say everybody else has done it. I don't excuse it. I don't blame others. You see, here's what I want you to understand. Your greatest hang-up, okay, your greatest hang-up goes right back to you. That's why you're still dealing with your hang-up. Because it comes right back to you. It comes right back to me. We're not asking God to reveal it. We're not asking God to show it to us. And so what happens is, what you don't acknowledge, okay, you can't address. See, 1 John tells us this. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we're what? We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not within us. And the self-defeating habit or hang-up that you're dealing with in your life that you don't like, the reason why you can't get rid of it is because you don't acknowledge it. And so if you don't acknowledge it, you can't confess it. You can't repent from it. And so let me ask you a question. What are you pretending not to know? What are you pretending to say, that's not true about me? All those things that you just read, Dwight, none of them pertain to me. What God would say is, hey, you know what? You're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. You see, what God would say to you and me, and what Jesus is teaching us here in this phrase, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. He's basically saying, get a clear conscience. Come clean so that you can have freedom, so that you can have peace, so that you can have joy. Deal with it and get over it. Just admit it. You see, here's what Acts 3:19 tells us. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be what? Wiped out. And that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see, when we examine our lives under God's grace and then we acknowledge it and we repent and turn from it, God, what happens is he refreshes our life. And so if we're going to confess our debt, what we have to do is examine our life, and then we have to repent of our sin. Here's the third thing. We have to make restitution. We have to make restitution. And here's what I mean. People that you have hurt with your words, with your actions, you're called and I'm called to go to them and acknowledge that. And say, you know what? I spoke to you unkindly. I spoke to you in a harsh way. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. Or, you know what? I cheated you. You know, when we were business partners, I cheated. And I took things from you that I should have never took from. And you make it right with other people. And you might say, well, hey, you know what? The guy's dead. Or maybe you're divorced. And they're remarried, and so it wouldn't be good for you to go back to them. But in one way or another, you need to be able to make restitution, especially where you can. I remember when I was probably just 21 years old, and I stopped at a garage sale. I used to go to a lot of garage sales. And I went there, and I was buying Crocs at the time, okay? For some reason, I fell in love with these. And I was there, and I bought two Crocs. And I paid the young girl, I don't know, she must have been 8 or 10 there, and I paid him, and then I came back, and her mother was there when I came back. And I heard the little girl said, that's the man. And what I found out was the little girl sold him cheaper than what they were supposed to be sold at. And you know what my attitude was? Sorry, lady, shouldn't have your kid there alone. That's what you get. And you know what? I felt guilty. It wasn't very fun being Dwight. And I knew that if it was going to change, that I was going to have to go back and make restitution. And it took me longer than what it should have. But within about 3 days, I went back to the house and I knocked on the door and I told her, I said, "You may not remember me, but I'm the guy who bought the Crocs. And I need to reimburse you for the full amount that you were asking for. And I'm asking you to forgive me." Hard thing to do. But after I did it, oh, man, did I feel good. I felt incredible. You see, when Zacchaeus got saved, and maybe you remember him, the wee little guy that crawled up in a tree, here's what he said. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation," or freedom, "has come to your house." And so I have to confess the debt. I have to examine my life. I have to repent of my sins. I need to make restitution. And then I need to receive God's forgiveness. I need to receive God's forgiveness. Look what it says here in Hebrews 4:16. "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." See, this is why we can be honest and transparent and vulnerable with Him. He's gracious, okay? "There we will receive His mercy." Mercy means that He will deal with my past. "He will remove my sins as far as the east is from the west, and to remember them no more." But then look what else. "And we will find grace to help us when we need it." Then what happens is He will give me grace for the future. He will give me the power to be able to deal with what I need to deal with. And so we receive God's grace. You see, listen, confession is good for the soul. And what happens is when we experience confession, what happens is it positions you and I to experience God's forgiveness. And you might say, "Dwight, you don't know what I've done. I've had an affair. God will forgive you. I've had an abortion. God will forgive you. I've murdered somebody. God will forgive you. I'm deep into pornography. God will forgive you. I've stolen. God will forgive you." It does not matter how deep you have gone into sin. Wouldn't you like to have a clean heart? You see, listen, that's the only way that I exist. I get criticized all the time. I'm under pressure all the time. The only way that I'm able to make it is to be able to know, "Hey, God, you know what? With you and me, we're good. We're good. I'm coming to you for your forgiveness because I can't handle guilt and shame. I can't live under that. It just saps me of my strength, of my energy." And so we receive God's forgiveness. And then here's the last one that I want to share with you. We confess it to another. Oh, you're saying, "You're kidding me, Dwight. You do what?" Yeah, you confess it to someone else. See, you have to ask yourself this question. All right, listen to me, okay? Because I'm going to help you a whole lot right here. Okay? You might be forgiven of your sins, but you're not emotionally healthy. And the only way that you're going to get emotionally healthy is if you confess it to someone else. You don't have to confess it to a dozen people or a half a dozen people, but you need to have someone in your life of where you can confess where you go wrong, or you will never be emotionally healthy. You'll always be sideways there. Look at what James tells us. "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Is it hard? Absolutely it's hard. You know why? Because it's humbling. Because I'm letting someone know that, you know what, I am an imperfect human being and I get it wrong often. And what happens is when I'm able to do it with somebody with flesh and blood and they receive me with grace and mercy and kindness and joy, and they say, "Hey, you know what? I'll pray for you. I'll help you. I'll walk alongside with you." What happens is then it's easier for me to believe that there's a God in heaven who will forgive me of all my sins as well. And so when Jesus says, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, he's telling us you need to confess your debt. And then on that latter part, he says, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We not only need to confess our debt, but we need to release debt. We need to release debt. What did Jesus say? Here's what he said at the end of the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sin, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. And what he ends up doing later in his ministry is he tells a parable of the unmerciful servant. And it's in Matthew chapter 18. And I want to read it for you. And I encourage you to go to it today sometime. Here's what it says. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You see, it was in the Jewish custom, it was good to forgive somebody three times. And then after three times, you could come across the table. Have you ever heard this phrase? Three strikes and you're what? Three strikes and you're out. That's where it comes from. So Pete thought, hey, I'm going to impress Jesus so much, it's going to be incredible. I'm going to do double plus one. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Wow. You missed it, Pete. Okay? Goes on to say this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, or compassion on him, and canceled the debt and let him go. Sounds a little bit like our relationship with God, right? He took pity on us. He took compassion on us. And he's forgiven us of all of our sins. And he set us free. Free. Why? Because if anyone confesses their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus continues the parable with this. But when that servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, peanuts compared to what he owed his master, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Now here's what you need to understand. This guy could have paid back that loan. Over time, he could have. The other one could never have paid it back to his master. It's too great of a debt. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt, one that was impossible to pay back of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to what? Torture. Until he should pay back all he owed. It says the jailers. He was handed over to the jailers to be tortured. Have you ever been tortured? Sure you have. If you have held forgiveness from somebody, you know that when you withhold forgiveness from other people, it eats your lunch. It tears you up. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. You don't have contentment. You don't have fulfillment. It tortures you to death. See, that's why the Hebrew writer writes this: be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. What's the grace that God gives? If we confess, he will what? He will forgive. For if he does, there can easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, means that it not only eats you alive, it not only has a bad effect on you, check this out, but also can poison the lives of many others. Wow. I want to share something with you. Here's what I want you to understand. Bitterness and unforgiveness are the number one reasons for bondage in your life. Reason why you don't have joy, the reason why you don't have peace, the reason why you don't have contentment, all of that. If you go back, I promise you, there will be people in your life that you have withheld forgiveness from, and you're being tortured. Because that's what your Heavenly Father says. Jesus ends up this parable with this: this is how my Heavenly Father will treat you, meaning you'll be tortured, unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Wow. So unless you and I are willing to forgive other people and release them of the debt, you know what? You'll never experience the joy. Oh, you'll die and go to heaven. But you know what? Here on earth, you won't experience peace. You won't experience joy. You will struggle and deal with hassles in your life until you come to this point. And so what does it mean to release the debt? What does it mean to forgive from your heart? Let me give you three things. One is you have to acknowledge the loss. I have to acknowledge my loss. I have to realize that something was taken from me. Somebody did something to me, and it was painful, and it was hurtful. That's what Joseph did. Joseph said it like this: you meant evil against me. What's he doing? He's acknowledging the loss. You sold me into slavery. You sold me down the river. And so you acknowledge your loss. You acknowledge the pain. You robbed me of my childhood. You robbed me of my innocence. You robbed me, fill in the blank. But you have to acknowledge it. And then secondly, we have to grieve the loss. Why? Because it's painful. It's hurtful. It's destructive. And we have to grieve the loss. That means that I feel the loss. I feel the pain. I'm willing to go there. Why? Because Jesus would say it like this: blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who grieve. For they will be what? Comforted. They will be comforted. And then the last thing that we do is we have to give it to God. God, I give it to you. You know what? You're all knowing. You're all powerful. You know every bit of what happened. And I give it to you. You see, Paul would say it like this: never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Now, why is this so important, my friends? We're talking about praying like Jesus. Why is it so important that I confess my debt and I release the debt? Well, the psalmist tells us this: if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You ever hear somebody say this? Prayer just doesn't work. Prayer really doesn't get me anywhere. You know why? Here's the reason why. Just talking to God doesn't cut it. If you and I hold on to sin, whether it's personal sin or sin against other people, your prayers won't go any higher than the ceiling of the room that you're sitting in. It just won't. Now, I know what you're thinking. Dwight, you don't know what's been done to me. You're right, I don't. God does. And if you wait until you feel like forgiving somebody, you may never forgive them. It might be your dad, it might be your mom, it might be a brother or a sister, uncle or aunt, a business partner. But the fact of the matter is, God says this: you're called to forgive them just as I have forgiven you. You see, listen to me, okay? You ready? Look up here. Forgiven people forgive. When you know that you're forgiven of everything that you've ever done or will do by God, what happens is it's a humbling experience. Because you know, and I know, I'm guilty, God. So who am I to hold this against them, even though they meant it for evil, even though it was hurtful, even though it was painful? You see, James tells us this. The prayer of a righteous person. What's a righteous person? In right relationship with God and right relationship with other people. Now, Jesus would say it this way. So long as it depends on you, be right with all people. Be at peace with all people. And it says here, that person's prayers is powerful and effective. That means that it gets the job done. So let me ask you a question. What do you need to confess to God? He already knows. But you and I don't get forgiveness without confession. And who do you need to release? When you do, you will begin to experience and know that your prayers are powerful and effective. Let's pray. God, I know this is a hard message. It's a difficult message. But I know that the freest people are those who take the initiative and do the hard work. I know sometimes, God, that all of us would rather hold on to that grudge. I know that some of us have been waiting until we feel like it, but we're never going to feel like it. And so I pray, God, that we would realize that there's really no other way than to experience your forgiveness and to be able then to extend it to others. And it's there that we find life and freedom and peace and joy. And so I pray for myself and I pray for all of my friends here today, that we would keep short accounts with you and short accounts with one another, and that we would live in your freedom and your joy. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. And don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message. And we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.